This is an iHeart podcast.
Taking over the helm of NBC Nightly News, a 75-year-old broadcast, it's a great responsibility.
Good evening, I'm Tom Yamas.
You have to go out there to bring people at home closer to the storm.
Wildfires continue to be a threat.
With that massive hurricane comes the massive response.
The best reporters in our business know how to listen. And when you listen, you get the truth.
For NBC News.
For NBC News.
NBC News.
I'm Tom Yamas.
That's what we do every night.
NBC Nightly News with Tom Yamas. Evenings on NBC.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. Have you ever felt that uneasy anxiety when the 4 p.m. hour strikes, the creeping meal-related distress that happens when you don't quite feel prepared? You know, dinner dread?
Let's get rid of that unpleasant feeling forever with one word, Stouffer's. No matter what happens, you'll have a dinner plan that everyone loves with Stouffer's.
Some chicken enchiladas or a cheesy chicken and broccoli pasta bake is always welcome, whether it is plan A or plan D. Licious.
Not gonna lie, I eat the lasagna once a week. And that's a fact. When the clock strikes dinner, think Stouffer's. Shop now for family favorites.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Have you ever felt uneasy about how traditional banks are using your money or worried about getting debanked? You're not alone. More and more Americans are taking a stand in choosing financial institutions that actually reflect their values. America's Christian Credit Union is an easy-to-use financial institution built on faith-based principles, providing trustworthy, secure banking options that align with what matters most to you and your family. America's Christian Credit Union is member-focused. That means better rates, lower fees, and service that actually puts you first. Whether it's checking, savings, loans, or more, America's Christian Credit Union is a partner you can count on. So take back control of your finances and support an institution that shares your values. Visit AmericasChristianCU.com today to learn more and become a member. That's AmericasChristianCU.com. It's time to take a stand and choose a financial institution that actually reflects your values. America's Christian Credit Union. America's Christian Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA.
Let your imagination take flight with an AI-powered PC from Lenovo. Whether it's creating digital art, designing new software, or building a portfolio for a future career, our PCs are powered by Intel Core Ultra processors to help students unlock smarter learning and unleash their creativity. That's the power of Lenovo with Intel inside. All you have to do is choose the one that fits your passion. Head to Lenovo.com to shop AI PCs and find your perfect companion. Plus, get 5% off when you create an education account.
And we return to Our American Stories. Up next, a story from those who witnessed a legendary meeting back in 1970 between a president, Richard Nixon, and a king, the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. Here to start us off is Jerry Schilling, a longtime veteran of the music industry and a close friend of Elvis. Take it away, Jerry.
I was asleep, and I get this call, hey, and I go, who is this? He says, it's me, so I knew it was Elvis. He said, I'm at the airport. Could you meet me at the airport? And I said, well, who's with you? Elvis Presley always traveled with an entourage. You know, five guys at minimum. And he said, nobody. I don't want anybody in the world to know where I am. He's never bought an airline ticket. And he started giving me his flight numbers and what time he was coming in. I didn't know what mission he was on. I'm not quite sure if he knew to the extent, but he was on a mission. That was the start of me picking him up at LAX on a Saturday night about 1:30 in the morning. Of course, I couldn't go to sleep. I was the only person in the world that knew where Elvis Presley was, you know? So Elvis goes to sleep, and the next day is Sunday, and we get up and we have coffee at his old home in LA. And it was just two friends really catching back up. In that conversation, he had told me, he said, you know, I really got mad at Graceland and people were telling me how to spend my money. He was buying a lot of gifts. And I think when the colonel got involved in it, Elvis just went, whoa. I think he got in his car. I think he took the first flight out. Anyway, he said, you know, Jerry, I need you to come to Washington with me. And I just got this job at Paramount Studios. And I go, Elvis, I can't. I got to be at work in the morning. And, you know, he was hard to say no to. And he looked like a little boy. He goes, okay, you know. He said, first of all, he said, I'll get a Learjet and fly you back. Well, I'm thinking, they were upset with him back there because he was spending too much money. I said, Elvis, I can't. And then I thought, man, he had this incident flying out on the airlines with the guns and everything. When he changed planes in Dallas, he said there was this smart aleck little steward with a mustache that came up to me and said, I couldn't, imagine this today, you can't carry your guns on the plane. There had been threats on his life, and Elvis got very upset, stormed off the plane, and the pilot came after him and said, Mr. Presley, it's okay, you can carry your guns. You know, I made a deal with him. I said, Elvis, if you will let me call Graceland and let them know you're not kidnapped, then I will take the all-nighter flight, and if I could call one of the security guys there to meet us, where I can go back and hopefully still have my job. So that started the evening of us with no money. Elvis never carried money. Taking an all-night flight from Los Angeles to D.C. I still did not know why we were going. And I talked Elvis into letting his normal limousine driver take us to the airport, who he called, by the way, Sir Gerald, because he had found out years ago, I think he was a driver for Winston Churchill. Yeah, and Elvis was a real history buff. I mean, this is the thing. He knew his history. And so it was Sunday night. We had no cash. I didn't carry any cash because I just didn't have any. Elvis didn't carry any cash because he didn't have to. So anyway, and I had Elvis's checkbook, and Sir Gerald found a guy at the Beverly Hilton Hotel that would cash a check for $500. So I made out the check, had Elvis sign it. We, on the way to the airport, we stopped at the Beverly Hilton, and I had an envelope with $500 in my coat. And they pre-board us on the plane. It was Christmas time, and there were a lot of soldiers coming back from Vietnam. He got into a real conversation with one soldier for, I mean, like 10 minutes. And he comes back to me, and I'm sitting in the window seat, and he's here, and he goes, where's that money? I knew what was going to happen. So I said, what money? And he goes, the $500. I said, Elvis, we're going to Washington. That's all we've got. He said, you don't understand. This man's been in Vietnam. He's going back home for Christmas to see his family. He gave me the entire $500. Anyway, Senator Murphy was on the plane with us. Of course, he was in coach. We were in first class. We had met when Murphy came on, but when we were on the flight, about halfway through, Elvis went back and talked with Senator Murphy. When he came back, he sat down next to me, and I had never seen Elvis Presley write a letter, and he had only written three in his life at that point. That's when he was in Germany in the army. So he said, do you think they have any stationery on the plane? And I said, well, you know, let me find out. And I asked the stewardess, and she brought us some American Airlines stationery. You know, and I respected his privacy. I wouldn't look. I didn't say, what are you writing a letter about? What's going on? I'm still figuring out how I'm going to get back to my job without losing it. And he finishes the letter, and he goes, Jerry, would you proofread this for me? I was pretty impressed. I mean, I knew Elvis so well, and I knew where his heart was, and there was obviously some grammar that could have been corrected. But I thought, you know what? This is a letter from a guy who experienced the real American story, from poverty to being probably the most famous guy in the world, who is writing a letter from his heart to his president. And I said, you know, Elvis, I think you should send it just as it is.
Dear Mr. President, I'm Elvis Presley and admire you and have great respect for your office. Sir, I can and will be of any service that can help the country out. I have no concerns or motives other than helping the country out. So I wish not to be given a title or appointed position. I can and will do more good if I were made a federal agent at large, and I will help out by doing it in my way through my communications with people of all ages. First and foremost, I'm an entertainer, but all I need is federal credentials. I am on this plane with Senator George Murphy, and we have been discussing the problems that our country is faced with. Sir, I'm staying at Washington Hotel, room 505, 506, 507. I've done an in-depth study of drug abuse and communist brainwashing techniques. I would love to meet you and just say hello if you're not too busy. Respectfully, Elvis Presley.
Well, knowing Elvis, he's not going to put it in a mailbox, you know. Elvis said, I want to drop the letter by the White House. And I said, Elvis, it's not even daylight. Let's just go to the hotel. I want to freshen up. You know, I've been up 2 days now. And he said, no, I really want to deliver this. I want it to be there first thing Monday morning. We get in the limo, and we're driving up to the gate. He said, you just stay in the car. I said, fine. So Elvis gets out of the limo. He's wearing a kind of cape coat. He's got a cane. You know, for that time of the morning, it was kind of a Dracula look. You know? And, and he, you know, the security guards, I see this is not going well. So I jump out of the car and I say, gentlemen, please excuse me, but this is Mr. Presley who just wants to drop a letter off to the president. And they really warmed up and they said, you know, a senator's coming up at 7, and Mr. Presley will make sure that your letter is carried up to be delivered to the president. Elvis went to a meeting, which I'd never seen him in a meeting either. And he had left me a phone number and said, you stay here and wait for the White House call. And I didn't want to hurt Elvis's feelings and tell him we weren't going to get a call.
And you've been listening to Jerry Schilling telling one heck of a story about when the president met the king. What happens next? Stay tuned to Our American Stories.
This July 4th, celebrate freedom from spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with Anabay, the only machine-washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $699, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric that's built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through July 4th, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Declare independence from dirty, outdated furniture. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Taking over the helm of NBC Nightly News, a 75-year-old broadcast, it's a great responsibility.
Good evening, I'm Tom Yamas.
You have to go out there to bring people at home closer to the story.
Wildfires continue to be a threat.
With that massive hurricane comes the massive response.
The best reporters in our business know how to listen. And when you listen, you get the truth.
For NBC News.
For NBC News.
For NBC News.
I'm Tom Yamas.
That's what we do every night.
NBC Nightly News with Tom Yamas. Evenings on NBC.
Hi, it's Jenny Garth. We all know the importance of taking care of our physical and mental health. But what about our sexual health? I've been there, feeling totally stuck when it comes to my libido. That's why I started taking Addy. And let me tell you, I've seen firsthand what a difference it can make in how you feel. Addy is the only FDA-approved pill clinically proven to help certain premenopausal women have more interest in sex, have more satisfying sex, and lower the stress from low libido. Addy has helped hundreds of thousands of women get their drive back, including me. talk to your doctor, or visit ADDYI.com to learn more about Addy, the little pink pill. Individual results may vary.
Addy, or flibanserin, is for premenopausal women with acquired generalized hypoactive sexual desire disorder, HSDD, who have not had problems with low sexual desire in the past, who have had low sexual desire no matter the type of sexual activity, the situation, or the sexual partner. This low sexual desire is troubling to them and is not due to a medical or mental health problem, problems in the relationship, or medicine or other drug use. Addy is not for use in children, men, or to enhance sexual performance. Your risk of severe low blood pressure and fainting is increased if you drink 1 to 2 standard alcoholic drinks close in time to your Addy dose. Wait at least 2 hours after drinking before taking Addy at bedtime. This risk increases if you take certain prescriptions, OTC or herbal medications, or have liver problems, and can happen when you take Addy without alcohol or other medicines. Do not take if you are allergic to any of Addy's ingredients. Allergic reaction may include hives, itching, or trouble breathing. Sometimes serious sleepiness can occur. Common side effects include dizziness, nausea, tiredness, difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and dry mouth. See full PI and medication guide, including boxed warning, at Addy.com/PI.
Addy. Visit ADDYI.com to learn more about Addy.
Have you ever felt uneasy about how traditional banks are using your money or worried about getting debanked? You're not alone. More and more Americans are taking a stand and choosing financial institutions that actually reflect their values. America's Christian Credit Union is an easy-to-use financial institution built on faith-based principles, providing trustworthy, secure banking options that align with what matters most to you and your family. America's Christian Credit Union is member-focused. That means better rates, lower fees, and service that actually puts you first. Whether it's checking, savings, loans, or more, America's Christian Credit Union is a partner you can count on. So take back control of your finances and support an institution that shares your values. Visit AmericasChristianCU.com today to learn more and become a member. That's AmericasChristianCU.com. It's time to take a stand and choose a financial institution that actually reflects your values. America's Christian Credit Union. America's Christian Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA.
Unlock smarter learning with Lenovo AI-powered PCs powered by Intel Core Ultra processors. Head to Lenovo.com and choose from multiple devices to fit your passions. If you're a gamer, you can spend less time stressing about GPUs and CPUs and more time dominating with your AI-enabled smart engine, which optimizes your game performance in real time. Or maybe you're a scientist on the verge of a groundbreaking discovery and need a device with a longer battery life and AI-enhanced tools to give you extra time to finish your research. Or you're a musician preparing for your biggest break and need better, faster AI tools to make digital art a breeze, like creating band posters and t-shirt designs. Or you're a soon-to-be graduate needing to catch a recruiter's eye to land that dream job. So you need cutting-edge smart tools to build your portfolio from scratch. That's the power of Lenovo with Intel inside. Plus, college students and teachers get 5% off with an education account on Lenovo.com. A better future is waiting, and it needs you.
And we return to Our American Stories and the story of how Elvis met Nixon. Here's Bud Crowe, assistant to the counsel to the president.
I was sitting at my desk, and I got a call from Dwight Chapin. Bud, the king is here. And I looked at the president's schedule and said, what king? There aren't any kings in a schedule here. He said, no, not any two-bit king. The king, the king of rock, Elvis Presley, he's right here. And he wants to help on the drug program, and that's what you work on, because one of Dwight's jobs was to help get people right in the policy area involved. So he said, I'll send the letter over to you. You can read it and tell me what you think. Now, full disclosure requires me to tell you that I belong to a group of 8 guys who play practical jokes on each other in the White House every week. And this was my turn to have one played on me by Chapin. So I figured, okay, well, I'll go along with it. I'm going to try this out. So I called over. Jerry answers the phone. I said, my name is Bud Krogh, and I have this letter here from Elvis Presley. I'm laughing on the phone because I'm expecting to be talking to Dwight's daughter, you know, who's all part of it. And he said, oh, yes, Mr. Krogh, yes, that is one of the letters Mr. Presley has written, and we would very much like to see if we could arrange some kind of a meeting with the president. Well, I'm still thinking, all right, so he got an impersonator of an aide to take this, and this is still Chapin's joke. So I said, look, why don't you come on over to the White House and let's talk about this? Because normally when you're responsible for a meeting with the president, you sort of like to know who's going to go in. So they said, oh, well, we'll be right over. And I still did not know you guys were for real. And it wasn't until they walked into my office that I realized, oh my goodness, this is Elvis Presley. Oh, and my secretary's, oh, Sandra Green. Oh, it is Elvis Presley. And then you all came in. And I will tell you, that was one of the most lovely half hours that I've had talking to you all and hearing Elvis talk from the heart about what his country meant to him. He sort of paraphrased the letter. Yeah, I've gotten a lot from my country.
Yes.
I want to give it back. I want to help the country out. I can go into any group of people and be accepted by anyone.
Yes.
And he had put in the letter that he would like to be made a federal agent at large. We don't have federal agents at large. We got Secret Service agents, FBI. We got all kinds of agents, but not agents at large. But that didn't seem to me to be a showstopper. But I should also, full disclosure requires me to tell, I was the biggest Elvis fan in the 1950s. Never went on a date without him. You know, I mean, that would, so here he is. He's in my office with you guys, and this meeting has got to take place. The president has never met anyone quite like Elvis Presley. Elvis hasn't met anyone quite like the president, and I want to be in this meeting. Well, they came back over, and I got a call from the Secret Service. The head of the Secret Service detail said, we've got a little problem here. I said, what's that? He said, well, Elvis has brought a gun with him. It's a very nice gun. It's got battles of World War II engraved in the barrel, and there are bullets in the display case. He said, Bud, you know that no guns in the Oval Office is standard policy around here. And I said, yeah, I realize that. I took the gun, and we walked into the Oval Office. He's wearing his cool glasses and his cape and his shirt. Nobody was ever dressed quite that way in the Oval Office. And the president had never seen anyone quite like that either. And, I mean, just to get Elvis over to the desk took a little effort because he walked in the door and he looked at the eagles engraved in the ceiling and eagles engraved in the carpets and the floor, and I knew it sort of overwhelmed him. I'm a poor boy from Tupelo, Mississippi, and I'm here in the Oval Office of the President of the United States. So I sort of escorted him. You know, I put my hand on his back. Well, they start talking about things that Elvis has been studying. And he had put this in his letter, too, that I made a study of communist brainwashing. President, you have? Okay. And then he said something about the Beatles that wasn't that flattering. He said, you know, the Beatles came over here, made a lot of money, and said some anti-American stuff. And President, the Beatles have done that? And I didn't say, I'll get right on it, Mr. President. Find out what they're doing, you know. It's just, and then he talked about how difficult it was to play Las Vegas. And the president said, yes, I understand. That's a hard gig to do out there. And I go, how does he know that? It's just a... So this stuff is going back and forth, and I'm just watching this amazing conversation unfold. And then Elvis turns to the president, and he said, Mr. President, can you get me a badge from the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs? Now, I asked this audience, if you don't know the answer to that question, what is the right answer as the staff person responsible for the meeting? What should I have said? I'll look into it. Let me check it out. Let me find out if it's legal. You know, I mean, a lot of things that you want to find out in advance. What do you think I said? Mr. President, if you want to get him a badge, we can get him one. Okay.
Exactly.
So at that point, the president said, get him a badge. I want him to have one. Elvis is overcome, and he steps forward, and he grabs the president. And he hugs him, which wasn't the norm in that White House. You know, there is, you know, it's just, and I'm watching this probably the last meeting. They're going to let me run around this place. You know, I'm out of here. And then after that, he turned to the president. He said, Mr. President, do you have time to meet my friends? And the president looks at me and said, Bud, do we have time for that? I mean, already we are far beyond anything anybody thought about this meeting. And I said, oh, yes, sir, we do. He said, fine.
And Elvis opened the door and said, come on. You know, I looked down and there was the president at his desk. And I realized the Oval Room was oval. Pictures are flat, right? And Elvis thought I was afraid, which I was intimidated. And he kind of pushed me in. And as we're going over, the president kind of did a little thing like that on my shoulder.
Yeah, he whacked
And goes, look like some football players.
Yeah. It wasn't not a technical assault.
Then I realized there was a human side of President Nixon. Right. Personally, politically, I was on the other side at that time. And I saw there was these two great men, both who had been at the top of their professions, but weren't at that moment. You know, Elvis was okay at the time, and the president wasn't that popular at the time. But my observation of seeing two great men connect on a human level, and I think they really got the loneliness of both of their positions in the world. And it wasn't just that meeting. They stayed in touch. We grew up in North Memphis. And here we were in the Oval Room of the White House with the President of the United States. There's so many funny things about that meeting, but the real thing about that meeting to me, if there was ever a true American story, I think that's one of the top.
Well, and what was so fun about this part of it, too, is that after the president has met with some guests, he often likes, when the meeting's coming to an end, he wants to give gifts to the people that have been there. Now, let's say that you've won the award for best cow for the 4-H club in King County, Washington, and you come to the Oval Office. Right, right. President will go in his bottom drawer and give you a golf ball. Here's your ball. And it's no, there's no connection between ball, cow, 4-H. Here's your ball. But it's nice and cheap. Now, this is one of the most abiding memories that I have of this entire episode. The president went behind his desk, and he opens the bottom left-hand drawer. The bottom drawer on that side of the desk is where he had the gifts. And they're arranged by golf balls through cufflinks to bracelets to pins. Yeah. And I don't know if it's an ascending order of value from the cheapest to the 16-karat gold that you give to the big hitters. Right. But anyway, he's behind his desk, starting to reach down. Now, Elvis didn't get to be the king of rock by not knowing where the gold is. So he went behind the desk with the president. The KGB can't do this, you know, but Elvis Presley is diving into the president's drawer, and the president's looking at me, he's cleaning me out. He's going back in. Now, I mean, you saw this whole thing, and remember what he said. Remember, Mr. President, they have wives and sweethearts.
Yeah.
And Elvis wasn't clear about what he was saying there. And you have to understand, halfway through this meeting, the president and Elvis concluded that it ought to be kept secret. Because they weren't sure that their respective constituencies would understand why we were all together. Yes, Elvis was saying, well, you know, it's. I think we need to keep this confidential. And the president said, yes, that's a good idea. We'll do that. Well, after lunch, I called John Finlater over at the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs. He brought a badge over. And when I said it was secret not just for a week. It was a secret for 13 months.
Is that amazing?
Now, imagine this. The King of Rock comes to the White House in the morning, and we weren't secreting him through tunnels or anything like that. No. I mean, we were moving him through the Roosevelt Room into the Oval Office. Afterwards, we went down the halls, and Elvis was friendly with a lot of the employees.
He kissed a couple of the girls.
Kissed a couple of the girls.
Yeah.
So it's to keep that confidential. I mean, it's incredible. Top secret material floats out of that place every day, you know. But having this man come in and have that be kept secret for 13 months was incredible. And I have just, you know, I've milked this as much as possible.
We still are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 40 years later.
And what terrific storytelling. Thanks to Jerry Schilling and Bud Krogh, and to the National Archives for preserving so much of American history, including this story, when the president met the king, here on Our American Stories.
Traveling is one of life's greatest joys. Honestly, can anything be more exhilarating? Well, actually, yeah. With Chase Sapphire Reserve, it's your gateway to the world's most captivating destinations. First, you'll earn 3x points for travel and dining, and the card gets you into the Sapphire Lounge by the club at select airports nationwide and access to one-of-a-kind experiences. Whether you're booking a once-in-a-lifetime trip or your next weekend escape, discover more with Chase Sapphire Reserve at chase.com/sapphire reserve. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
In golf, precision is everything. On and off the course. PGA of America chose advanced 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business for smooth operations and seamless transactions. Together, we enhance ticketing and concessions for better fan experiences from gate to green. This is pro-level efficiency. This is PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
I'm Molly Roberts.
And I'm Drew Goins. Each Friday on Impromptu, we talk through the questions we can't stop thinking about.
Do we need to rethink how much we drink?
Why are companies really asking workers to come back to the office?
Does boycotting a business actually work?
Should we quit social media?
We're here when the news gets personal and the headlines hit home.
Join Molly and me every Friday on Impromptu from Washington Post Opinions.
Find Impromptu wherever you get your podcasts.
You have a long list of things to deal with. Check dry eye symptoms off with Refresh Reliva PF Extra Lubricant Eye Drops, offering an advanced formula to soothe and hydrate your dry eyes. Refresh Reliva PF Extra includes moisture-locking technology that prevents further irritation and gives you lasting relief. You deserve relief from your dry eye symptoms, and your eyes deserve extra. Find Refresh online or in the eye drop section at all major retailers, FSA and HSA eligible.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is an iHeart podcast.